Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're embarking on a deep dive into something really foundational to our digital lives.
Yeah.
Often unseen, yet, well, incredibly powerful. Universally unique identifiers. UIDs.
That's right.
We've collected a wealth of fascinating source material on UIDs, particularly focusing on how these random UID generators work and contribute to their use everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And our mission today is really to distill the most vital insights, giving you a comprehensive understanding, you know, without the usual information overload. So if you've ever found yourself wondering how systems just effortlessly create truly unique IDs for, well, everything from database entries to maybe ephemeral session tokens.
Yeah, those things you see everywhere.
Exactly. Or why those long strings of characters consistently look the same, you know, that specific format. You're about to get some clarity.
Yeah.
We're going to pull back the curtain on what UIDs actually are, how they function in different contexts, and why they are just so indispensable in our sprawling interconnected world. So let's dig into this. Picking us off, let's establish the basics. What exactly is a UUID?
Okay.
Our sources describe them as universally unique identifiers, and they're explicitly designed to guarantee an exceptionally high degree of uniqueness across, you know, disparate distributed systems.
Mm-hmm.
They're those distinct, lengthy alphanumeric strings you often see, looking something like A1B2C3T4E5F64A7B189D01F223B4C fail.
Right, that familiar pattern. And what's truly fascinating here, I think, is the sheer ambition behind that phrase, universally unique.
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine a global network, countless individual systems all churning out identifiers at the same time with absolutely no central authority coordinating them.
Right, no central bottleneck.
Exactly. UUIDs are engineered precisely for that scenario to make sure there's just a vanishingly small chance of collision. They let you identify things without the overhead of some central ID registry.
That makes sense.
And our source material really hammers home how critical this kind of independent generation is. It ensures compatibility across, you know, all the major databases and programming languages worldwide.
Because they follow standards like RFC 4122.
Precisely. That global standard is why a well-designed random UUID generator, for instance, can produce IDs that are just trusted everywhere, no questions asked.
Okay, so the idea of universal uniqueness is clear. But as our sources reveal, universal doesn't quite mean one size fits all.
Not at all.
There's actually a whole family of UUIDs, right? Each with its own quirks, its own strengths, generated differently.
Exactly right. And while many people, when they hear UUID, they probably immediately think of just a random string of characters.
Yeah, that's what I picture.
That's primarily just one, albeit very important, member of the family. Version 4, that's the version most commonly produced by, say, a generic random UUID generator. And for good reason. So version 4, random or pseudo-random, this is the most prevalent one out there. It relies on cryptographically secure random number generation.
Okay, cryptographically secure. That sounds important.
It is. The core principle here is what's called probabilistic uniqueness.
Probabilistic, meaning not guaranteed unique, but extremely likely.
Extremely. Our sources give this, well, mind-bending statistic. The probability of a duplicate version 4 UUID happening is astronomically low, roughly 1 in 2.71 quintillion.
Quintillion. That's a lot of zeros.
It's 10 to the power of 18. I mean, to try and get your head around that scale, you'd need to generate a billion UUIDs every single second for about 85 years.
Wow.
Just to get a 50% chance of one collision.
Okay, so for all practical purposes, unique.
Exactly. Which makes version 4 ideal for general purpose identifiers, session IDs, components in distributed systems, primary keys in databases, basically any way you need IDs without predictable patterns.
That's an astonishing number.
Mm-hmm.
Really puts probabilistic uniqueness into perspective.
Yeah.
But then we also have the other versions serving different needs.
Absolutely. Beyond V4, there's, well, first, version 1, time-based.
Time-based. How does that work?
These UUIDs combine a very precise timestamp with the M. Massey address of the computer generating it.
Ah, the network card address.
Right. They offer time-based uniqueness, which means they're inherently ordered by time. They can be useful in legacy systems, or maybe if you specifically need that time ordering.
But I sense a but.
There is one. Our source material flags a crucial consideration, privacy. Because they embed system-specific info, like that MAC address and the timestamp.
They could reveal information about the system.
Potentially, yeah. If they're exposed publicly, they might reveal details about the generating system, which could be a concern.
Okay, good to know. What else?
Then you have versions 3 and 5, namespace-based. These are different. They're called deterministic.
Deterministic meaning predictable.
In a specific way. Unlike random UUID IDs, they're generated by taking a specific namespace, like a URL or maybe a DNS name, and combining it with another name string. Then you hash that combination.
So same input always gets the same output, UUD.
Exactly. If you use the exact same namespace and name inputs, you will consistently generate the exact same UUID every single time. Version 5 uses SHA-1 hashing, and it's generally preferred over version 3, which uses MD5, mainly for security reasons.
Okay, so when would you use that?
Perfect for scenarios where you need a repeatable, consistent identifier for something known, like maybe assigning a permanent, unchanging UUID to a specific URL, or maybe a unique document based on its content hash.
Right, where randomness isn't the goal, but consistency is.
Precisely. And finally, there's the special 0000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 placeholder or maybe a default value. It signifies an absent or uninitialized UUID rather than actually identifying anything specific.
So even a null ID has a distinct purpose. It's a placeholder, not a real identifier. That really shows the precision in these specs, doesn't it?
It does.
It sounds like picking the right version is absolutely critical then. You need to match it to your goal. Probabilistic randomness, time ordering, or that deterministic repeatability.
Absolutely crucial.
And that really highlights why version 4, the random one, is so dominant for just general use cases. Okay, this brings us to the practical side. Our sources show it's pretty straightforward to actually generate UUIDs in different languages.
Yeah, the tooling is good now.
But maybe, more importantly, how to optimize their use in real-world apps. This is where it gets really compelling for anyone handling, you know, large data sets.
Indeed. And the elegance of modern software development is that most popular languages, even databases, have robust built-in support for generating UUIDs.
Like?
Well, you find simple function calls for this in JavaScript, especially Node.js, Python, Java, C#, PHP, even directly within PostgreSQL sometimes. Often it's just a simple call like uid.uid4 or uid.randomUUID.
Pretty easy then.
Yeah. And a key security and privacy feature highlighted in our sources, especially for those web-based random UUID generators you see online, is that often all UUID generation happens client-side in your browser. No identifiers are transmitted to our servers, ensuring complete privacy.
Ah, so the generator website never actually sees the UIDs being created.
In those cases, no. Which is a significant privacy advantage, especially if you're generating IDs for sensitive stuff.
That is a fascinating privacy point about client-side generation. I hadn't really thought about that, but it's a huge benefit. Okay, so beyond generating them, what about storage? In a database, for instance. That must have big implications for performance.
Oh, absolutely critical. Especially when you scale up. While the, let's say, user-friendly way to see a UUID is that 36-character hexadecimal string.
Right, the common format.
Our sources strongly advocate for storing UUIDs as 16-byte binary values whenever you possibly can.
Okay, binary versus string, why the big difference?
Think of it like, well, your database is like a librarian, storing and retrieving book titles. Writing out universally unique identifier every time takes up a lot of shelf space.
Right.
And it's slower to scan than just using a short code. Binary storage is like using that short, efficient code. It's incredibly compact, saves significant disk space, and it's much, much faster for the database to process and index compared to a longer varchar 36 or maybe a texty field.
So faster lookups, less storage.
Exactly. And most modern databases, think PostgreSQL, MySQL 8.0 and up, MongoDB, SQL Server, Oracle, they now have excellent native support or dedicated functions for UUID data types and these binary conversions.
So the tools are there to do it right.
They are, and it's paramount for efficient indexing and fast lookups. Also, when you're generating huge numbers of UIDs, performance considerations also include using those cryptographically secure random number generators we mentioned.
Especially for version 4.
Right, and looking for batch generation methods if possible, and prioritizing generating binary UIDs directly over converting strings later, just to avoid that extra step.
Okay, so UIDs, essentially V4, they're brilliant for uniqueness. That randomness is amazing. But it seems like such a unique random string would be inherently secure, right?
Ah, that's a common thought.
I mean, lots of developers might be tempted to use them for sensitive things, like authentication tokens, maybe. Is that a good idea? Or are there pitfalls our sources warn about?
This is a really critical distinction the sources address directly. And yes, it's a common misconception. UUIDs are not designed as security tokens.
Okay, Not security tokens.
Relying on their randomness alone for security, that can lead to some significant vulnerabilities. There are several specific things you really need to be aware of.
Like what?
Okay, firstly, privacy concerns. We touched on this with version one. Those AMI addresses and timestamps. If V1 UUIDs get exposed publicly, they can inadvertently leak details about the system that made them.
Right. The system fingerprinting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Secondly, and this is super relevant for version 4, predictability risks.
But V4 is random, isn't it?
It should be. But that randomness is only as good as its source. If your random UUID generator uses a poor quality random number source.
Like, what's a poor source?
Well, a common mistake is using something simple, non-cryptographic, like JavaScript's math.random.
Oh, right. I've seen that used.
If you use that, the UUIDs you generate can actually become predictable, which severely compromises the whole point of the randomness and opens the door to attackers guessing or enumerating IDs.
So you need a truly random source.
You absolutely need what's called a cryptographically secure random number generator, CSPRNG. That's not just a nice to have, it's foundational.
Okay, CSPRNG.
Got it. These use highly unpredictable sources, you know, entropy, to make sure the numbers are virtually impossible to guess. Crucial for preventing attacks when using V4 UUIDs in anything security sensitive. Think about it like a game where player IDs are just sequential. 1, 2, 3.
An attacker could just increment the ID to find other users.
Exactly. Hijack sessions. That's the kind of risk predictable UUIDs create.
Okay, so use a CSPRNG. What else?
Thirdly, access control. This is huge. Never, ever rely solely on a UAD's randomness for access control.
They identify, they don't authorize.
Perfectly put. Always implement robust, layered access control mechanisms. Even supposedly unguessable UUIDs can be discovered through other means brute forcing. If your auth layer is weak, information leaks elsewhere.
Right. Defense in depth.
Exactly. And finally, consider session fixation and information leakage. If you do use UUIDs for session tokens, you absolutely need proper session rotation and invalidation to stop attackers tricking users into using a known session ID.
Session fixation, right.
And also, just be aware that sequential or time-ordered UUIDs, like version 1 or some of the newer ones we might discuss, they can reveal patterns. System load, when records are created, user activity rates.
Which could be an information leak itself.
It could be, yes, if that information is sensitive.
Okay, so the big takeaway here is the randomness in version 4 is for uniqueness, primarily, not for security.
That's the core message.
And it sounds like there are critical mistakes to watch out for. Using a non-CSPRNG random generator, maybe ignoring database performance issues like index fragmentation.
Precisely. Our sources basically boil this down into a few key best practices. One, default to version 4 unless you have a specific compelling reason for another version.
Stick with random unless you need otherwise.
Two, store UUIDs as binary values in your database. Save space, gain speed.
Binary storage check.
Three, indexing. While useful, be aware that purely random V4 UUIDs can cause significant index fragmentation. Imagine a library where new books just get tossed onto any random shelf.
Finding a specific book gets really slow because the index is all over the place.
Exactly. The database has to jump all over the disk. It works much harder. So for primary keys especially, maybe consider alternatives like the upcoming UUID V7, or maybe use composite keys to lessen that fragmentation.
Okay, consider indexing impact.
Four. Always validate the UUID format string when you get input from outside your system. Prevent malformed data.
Validate external input. Got it.
And five, if you're using version 3 or 5, the deterministic ones, always use standard, well-defined namespaces. That ensures consistent, predictable generation when you need it.
Right. Use standard namespaces for V3, V5. That's a great set of guidelines. That point about fragmentation, the library analogy, really makes it clear. Now, it sounds like UUIDs are, you know, a pretty mature technology. But with these database challenges you mentioned, is there anything new coming? Or are there totally different ways people generate unique IDs?
Yeah, that's an important question. Things are evolving. While not yet formalized in the main RFC 4122 standard, our sources do mention several new UUID versions currently in development.
Interesting.
And they're specifically designed to tackle some of the challenges we've just discussed, especially the performance hit from purely random IDs when it comes to database indexing.
So trying to get the best of both worlds.
Sort of. There's talk of version 6, which is essentially a reordered version 1, trying to make those time-based IDs more sequential for better database performance.
Okay.
Even more interesting, perhaps, is version 7. This one aims to combine time ordering, which helps indexing a lot, with enough random bits to still maintain excellent uniqueness.
So ordered, but still very unique.
Exactly, making it a strong candidate for primary keys where you want both uniqueness and efficient time-based querying or sorting.
That sounds very promising.
And then there's version 8, which is more of a custom format. It provides flexibility for really specialized use cases where developers might need to define their own structure within the UAD framework.
So more flexibility there.
Right. And beyond these new UAD versions, there are also various alternative unique identifier schemes out there.
Like what?
Well, things like UADs. They're 128-bit, like UAUADs, but they are inherently time-ordered from the start.
Similar goal to UUID v7, then. Better indexing.
Pretty much, yeah. Much more efficient for database indexing compared to standard v4. Then you have Snowflake IDs, which are popular. They're 64-bit, time-based, but they also cleverly incorporate a worker ID and a sequence number.
For distributed systems, so different machines don't clash.
Exactly. Great for collision avoidance and sortability and distributed setups. There's also NanoID, which focuses on being more compact and URL friendly. Often uses a smaller character set, great for short URLs or IDs you might need to type.
More human readable, maybe.
Potentially, yeah. And of course, you still have simpler options, like just basic database sequences if you only have one database, or things like MongoDB's objected. Each has its own trade-offs, you know, depending on your scale and specific needs.
Wow, it really is a whole ecosystem of unique identifiers. And finally, it seems like no matter which version or alternative you end up choosing, validation is absolutely crucial, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It's not enough to just generate them. You have to be sure they're valid when you receive them from somewhere else.
Cannot be overstated. Most modern languages and frameworks give you built-in ways to check if a string actually conforms to the expected UUID format. You might use regular expressions in JavaScript or Python's UID.UIB constructor, which will just raise an error if the format's wrong. Java has from string, which throws an exception. C# has triparse. PHP is valid. The tools are there.
But uses built-in checks.
Yes. The key takeaway is always validate any UUIDs you get from external input or untrusted sources. Always. It stops malformed data corrupting your system, it improves data integrity, and it can head off potential security problems too.
Makes perfect sense. Wow, that truly was a deep dive into universally unique identifiers. That astonishingly low probability of a collision in a V4 UUID from a good random generator.
Yeah, the quintillion number.
To the nuances of performance optimization, you know, binary storage and databases, and those really critical security considerations that are maybe easy to overlook. We've covered a massive amount of ground.
We have.
It's clear that while UUIDs might just look like random strings on the surface, they are actually a powerful, really thoughtfully designed tool, foundational to how we build efficient, scalable, distributed systems and handle modern data.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And we've seen how making that right choice of UID version, especially defaulting to a solid version 4 for general randomness, unless you really need ordering or deterministic behavior.
Right.
And coupling that with best practices for efficient storage, like binary and stringent security validation, well, that can significantly impact the robustness, the performance, the integrity of your applications.
Definitely.
Understanding these identifiers, which honestly underpins so much of our digital world, it really gives you a strategic edge when you're building things.
Absolutely. So for you, our listener, the next time you encounter one of these distinctive identifiers, maybe pause for a second. Consider which version it might be, what hidden purpose it's serving, and just the incredible engineering that went into making it, quite literally one in a quintillion. Mm-hmm. Knowing what you know now about the power of properly generated random UUIDs, the dangers of predictability, the benefits of smart storage, what new systems or applications could you maybe imagine building differently, perhaps more robustly or more efficiently? Something to think about. That's it for this deep dive. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, everyone.
And we look forward to the next one.